SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. 10 minutes in to the third hour. Going to be joined here first by Ed DeRosa. Haven't talked to Ed in a couple of weeks between vacation and not being able to connect with him the week before. But happy summer, Ed DeRosa.
Thank you. Yeah, I was in Gulf Shores last week and looked like were you Lake George this past week. So I hope you enjoyed a well-earned respite and good to have you back ahead of some exciting summer racing.
Absolutely, and glad to be back and grab some opinions. And you know, certainly coming off of Royal Ascot, we had that fun visit with Vance Hansen. And Vance and I, did you hear about our score together? That was the greatest.
No, Vance is humble, so he wouldn't have wanted to brag.
It was just the strangest thing because he had picked the horse. He had gone through, you know, a lot of the handicapping maxims and understanding, you know, the whole Royal Ascot scenario. And I was just doing my odds checker arbitrage, watching the board in North America versus what was happening in the betting shops. And so I brought up a horse that was a pretty healthy price. And I want to say it was in, well, this would have been Friday. It wasn't one of the group ones. I think it was a little earlier. Was it the Commonwealth? Maybe. I guess it was the Commonwealth. Anyway, Ecuador. It was a ridiculous overlay between North America and an odds checker, and I'm talking up Ecuador, and Vance says, that's who I picked. And so we then got to play the race live, and we both hit for, you know, whatever it was, $35, and a bunch of listeners cashed as well. It was great. It was the highlight of Royal Ascot.
Love it. Yeah, Vance the sharp is you are, and we've talked all this, you know, a lot on here. You don't need to use every piece of information, and especially in American racing, there can be some information overload, but at the right price, if you, you know, you find the right piece of information that makes sense at 15, 20 to 1, that can sometimes be enough. And, you know, then is the price deflates, you like to get a little more confidence. But certainly, you know, a great example of how fun it can be to have a little action on the races and trusting your sources.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive in and talk about, you know, the midsummer calendar and what Twin Spires players can look forward to and what you're looking forward to.
Yeah, well, you know, certainly this week with the million preview day at Arlington, five stakes slate there on Saturday, they've done a wonderful job, and Stars and Stripes card at Belmont, also a five stakes slate with some dirt racing peppered in as well. Just a fantastic 10-pack of stakes just between those two. And on the Brisnet side, I'll mention our friend Gus, who I believe is in Chicago this weekend.
Yep.
But he took on the task of doing both days. So for those who enjoy his full card spotlight selections, those are at Brisnet, and I'll be putting them up as soon as we're done talking, in fact. So Gus tackled both, and I looked at him as well. So check that out for Arlington and Belmont Saturday. And then on the Twin Spires side of things, the promo at Arlington tomorrow, sort of an easy one to get involved with, because no matter what, if you make a $5 place bet on all 10 races, you're going to share in a $1,000 pool. But if you hit five of them, you share in another $1,000. And for whoever can go 8 for 10 or more shares in an additional 2,000. So easy to get in. You opt in, $5 place bet on the Arlington card. But obviously, hitting them a little easier said than done. But I think the $1,000 pot for half the races and then the $2,000, if you happen to get eight or more, could be quite lucrative for those who place their bets and win those bets. So check that out at Arlington. Remember to opt in, but it's a good 10-race card, and half of them are stakes.
Absolutely. We just finished with Marcus Hirsch and went through. Do you want to hit some highlights and some Belmont action?
Yeah, I got three races from each of the places I wanted to look at. The action at Arlington kicks off with the American Derby, and I'm intrigued by WW, who broke maiden at 30,000, maiden claimer, but has ascended in the ranks and seemed to have not only found a home on turf for Michelle Lavoll, but also a capable pilot in Jack Gilligan, 2-for-2. With that jockey up. Waters obviously get deeper here, but does fit on numbers. We know a mile and an eighth is in his scope because he's won at that trip before, and I think there's enough speed to the outside that with the fourth post position and sort of that mid-pack pressing style that WW has, I think is going to be worth the at least 4 or 5 to 1 we'll get on him. So he's getting my look in the American Derby.
I talked quite a bit about WW as it happens, and you know it's a spot where you know there are three logical horses ahead of him on the pecking order, but why not? And I think he'll be above that 5 to 1. I thought
good.
He was the right price as well.
Yeah, I'm a buyer. It's certainly that price for sure. The modesty, willing to lean on chalk a little bit here. I think it's a tricky pick five, and I think I'm hoping the full field and the outside post give people a reason to maybe look elsewhere from Daddy's Little Darling. But the reality from a Brisnet standpoint, she's a tremendous standout on both prime power and the class ratings. I pegged her at 3-2. Fair value, and she's higher than that on the morning line. And Joe Christofek, who does the line for Arlington, is not the type to inflate favorites just to do it. So I'm hopeful we'll be in that 3-2 range, but I do think she's the one you could lean on from a single standpoint as well. And obviously a very, very, very small sample size, but worth noting that post 13 is 2-for-3 going back to 2006 at Arlington. Including a win in the modesty with I'm Already Sexy. So by no means am I saying, oh, look at this 66% win percentage from post 13, what a benefit. But the fact that it's been done, you know, from a relatively small sample definitely says, hey, don't let that be any reason why you wouldn't back her as the favorite. So Daddy's Little Darling and the modesty in a tough sequence. And the reason I think it's tough is I think the Arlington handicap, a lot of attention will be on Michael Stidham's horse, but I think the weight is an issue here. And Compass Zone for the very capable Brad Cox Barn fits not only on numbers, but also gets weight. So I'm not sure we'll get 8-to-1 morning line. I think the price on Divisadero and Synchrony, you know, they're certainly the two that are going to take money, but it might be a little more compressed than the morning line suggests, but even at 6-to-1 instead of 8-to-1, I think is the right price on Compass Zone, and certainly would love to be live to him to close out that all stakes multi-race sequences.
Well, I don't think it does it close it out? No, it's got, you go to the race 10, I think in the pick five and the pick four.
They didn't. I was thinking maybe they added one. Well, there is a pick three then, nonetheless, that will close it.
Yeah,
out.
No, there's but, yeah, rolling. There's rolling pick threes.
I'll take a long look at race 10 because I definitely think with Daddy's Little Darling and she doesn't. She's not the second leg then. She'd be the opening leg, being race 6. But lean on her and the Arlington handicap's definitely a race I'm looking to beat the favorites.
Yeah, the Twin Spires. .com late pick 4, 7 through the 10th.
All right. Well,
all right.
And the pick 5.
It starts with the modesty starts that, there.
Okay. Yeah.
So lean on Daddy there.
And the pick 4, like I said, I think the Arlington handicap's a spot where the favorites vulnerable may be too strong a word. I don't think anyone's going to be shocked if either wins. And Divisadero, I do. I have both as more likely winners in the Compass Zone, but I just think how they'll be bet, there's some opportunity to oppose.
No, I agree. And I actually am going to key off of Western Elegance, who at a monster price is a nice exotic key. So, and Compass Zone was in my mix. Divisadero to me is need him to win a race before I, you know, fear him again. Right?
Right. I think that's fair. Yeah.
Starting to pile up.
Especially on the win end. And, you know, I talked a little bit about this. I mean, really in the Triple Crown season with how well the verticals paid, even underneath Justify. And we saw it last week again in the Queen's Plate. If you get these competitive full fields, you know, the super is absolutely worth looking at. And the Arlington Handicap sort of has that feel where even if a couple of the logicals are in there, if you get an upset on top or maybe get one of the two favorites out of the try, the super really just has a chance to exponentially grow. And Wonder Godot was the favorite last week, and the super still paid, I think, $1,800 for 20 cents. And that was with the third choice fourth. So the Arlington Handicap, not quite as robust a field, but I think there's enough in there and some looks with the horse you mentioned in Compass Zone that don't sleep on the verticals either on these big days.
Very, very true. Let's turn to Belmont and the troika of interest there.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the Dwyer, and this was one of those either-or races for me. I said Mendelsohn's a bet for me at better than even money. I just feel like either he shows up with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and UAE Derby form, and that's absolutely good enough, or he doesn't. And I think given the connections, I think 50-50 is pretty fair on that. The Derby, I don't hold against them. I think everyone, even if you're not a fan of Mendelsohn, would view that as a draw line through a race. And then it's whether, you know, how much you trust the form from UAE. But I even go back to the race between that, his three-year-old debut in Ireland. I thought Ryan Moore gave him the type of ride that, you know, he could have just went to the outside and blew by everyone, but he ducked inside and gave him a little lesson, and Mendelsohn handled it well. So I think dirt racing is fine for him. I think they have a plan with him, and winning this race is part of that plan. So not sure we'll get it. If the money flows in and he's odds on, you know, I'll start looking at doubles, and maybe he's you know, a horse you can use in those or the pick three. But certainly I think the Dwyer, he's the most likely winner. And at the very least, a very interesting way to kick off the All-Stakes pick five there.
Let's turn through and walk through them, Ed.
All right. Well, I'll go quickly on the other dirt races. The Belmont Sprint Championship, I like Limousine Liberal a little more than I do Whitmore. I think being closer, the 7 furlong is definitely a positive in that race. And I would even maybe not use Whitmore at all if you're looking to chuck one of the favorites and try to get by to some of the deeper races elsewhere, including the Oaks, which I do think is the Americans have a better chance in the Oaks than the Derby. Paved is a horse from the El Camino Real that I loved. And number-wise, hoping she'd stack up a little better, but I just think the talent's there enough that this could be a spot that we'll never see, you know, 6 or 8 to 1 again if she runs the race we saw in the El Camino. So I'm backing her here on top. And I think Toinette, Rushing Fall had all sorts of trouble, but Toinette's trip was no picnic either. She got the job done. She's underrated again here, at least on the morning line. And if that price holds up, those are the two I definitely want in the Oaks.
Excellent.
And then the Suburban, I actually like Diversify a little bit from the outside. Everyone's really bullish on Opportunity. I understand why. Definitely worried about him being an underlay, though. Just seems to be getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so. But I think War Story and Diversify are both capable on numbers, and I think as the second and third choices are worth using in the Suburban. And then wrapping it up, Derby, a very fascinating race with Hunting Horn and King Star coming over. Obviously, analyze it, Catholic Boy and Hawkish. The three-year-olds with some solid form on turf recently, but my boy Jack, I think, and this goes back to what I mentioned, the Arlington handicap, this is a race I am going to look at the super, because it's hard to see my boy Jack not running his race. He does every time. His dirt numbers are faster than anyone else in here, so if he does it on turf at a mile and a quarter, he's a win threat at a decent price, but he's the one I'm definitely playing to get in the super, and we'll be playing around where, you know, two of the five logicals don't even hit the super to help the price a little bit. I would say Hawkish is the one I like least, but, you know, it's hard to say, oh, you can't finish fourth, but Hawkish would probably be the one I'd chuck from the top two positions completely, and I do prefer the Euros here to the Americans, whereas in the Oaks, I prefer the American-based runners.
Interesting. I we had this discussion, too, with Nick. Tremendous intrigue, really, in the whole set of races. Well, Ed, enjoy. And we're starting to gear up for Saratoga and Del Mar 2 weeks from today, from Saratoga, and less than 2 weeks now for Del Mar.
Going to be a great summer. Looking forward to both, and we'll have plenty of handicapping packages for those two that I'm sure we'll discuss next week. But got to get past Saturday first. Definitely not looking past these big races tomorrow.
Exactly, and we also need to get some Ellis Park conversation going next week when we're together. All right.
That sounds good. P-Patch.
The P Patch, they're rolling, and they had to cancel yesterday after two races. Like years ago, movie theaters used to say 20 degrees cooler inside. At Ellis Park, there should be a sign 20 degrees hotter.
It was 100 here. I cannot imagine what it felt like there yesterday.
Yeah, it is. Ridiculous there, the heat. There are two places that have that same issue, and of course next year we'll be racing at Colonial, so they'll have their opportunity for it to be 106.
Well, I definitely need to make sure I mark that on my calendar. I cannot miss Colonial when it reopens.
Well, make sure you pick the late spring or early fall. Because midsummer, you don't want to be there. It's tough.
Well, let's hope they pick those days.
No, they'll run their typical typical calendar.
Okay,
looking forward.
Yeah, me too.
Ed, have a great weekend.
You too, Steve. Thanks.
Ed DeRosa, folks. Let's break. I don't know how we're going to pull this off, but we're supposed to have Dick Powell and Hammer and Drew Mollica. It's going to be very hard. So we'll do what we can here. Back after a break.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, probably our last break to make the end run here to the top of the hour and send you into a terrific race weekend. That includes Los Alamitos, where the Great Lady M, the action tomorrow, and a nice little group of sprinting fillies. And Hammer has been getting his first opportunity to decompress after the six-month run of Santa Anita from Boxing Day all the way through a week ago Sunday. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I have started a decompression. You're right, after a long six-month meet. It was good to get out of town for a few days. I followed your lead. You went out of town, and so I had to leave too. So anyway, it was all good. Took a little trip up to Portlandia. And anyone who's ever seen that show, there's a reason they call it Portlandia, and it is a way of life up there. But got out of Portland and went to a little whitewater rafting, saw a couple concerts at a couple of wonderful venues, the Gorge in Washington and Autzen Stadium on the University of Oregon campus, and I don't think I saw a horse for 4 or 5, 6 days, so it was pretty good. But anyway, yeah, so we're done here. Racing shifted over to Los Al. Turf racing will get a little bit of a break. And which happens every year when I get back, I look up and our turf course is gone. It's either brown or dug up. It's kind of scary going from that emerald green to what they do. But they pare it down and they're going to replace some of the running lanes in the stretch and down the hill. They'll resod starting today and it'll be... it'll be green as grass is supposed to be by the time we start up in September. But, we had a couple years where we ended and we were kind of not in a good mood. We limped toward the finish line, but we finished on the right note. You kind of called the old triple carryover for the pick six on the final day.
How funny was that?
Yeah, talking about it on that Friday. And wonder if we can get it to Sunday, and sure enough, we did. And they couldn't have finished any better. So You know, heads are high around here, which is good, and looking forward to a little break, and then looking forward to Del Mar starting, actually, 12 days. They start on Wednesday, right, the 18th, and get going. And when does Saratoga start? Is that Friday?
Yep, 2 weeks from today.
So, you know what? I'm glad to have a little bit of a break, but, you know, look at, there's not much racing going on here, let's face it. We take a little bit of a break. Some of the better horses get to either get ready for Del Mar or, you know, hit the road. And probably one of the better cards in a while shows up on Saturday at Belmont. And some of our horses show up there, which actually they kind of been showing up all over and running rather well. Pete Erton won the Ohio Derby, and Pavel went out and won the Stephen Foster. And so... couple of our horses that are running out there especially in the Belmont Oaks, a very nice card. You know, for a change, a lot of these all five of these races are fun handicapping races. There's a lot of, you know, horses that you're expecting to run better, and some that are heading up the ladder. But in the Oaks, I mean, a couple of our horses are in there. Paves, for one, you know, I think he's 12 to 1, or she's 12 to 1, and I was kind of shocked at that. I think it's the old buyer numbers versus the West Coast, East Coast buyer numbers. If you look at some of the times and some of the comparisons to the other horses, she's as good as anyone in here. And, you know, 12 to 1 is a nice price on her. G. Stevens goes out to ride, and we're going a mile and a quarter. Let's not forget, some of these might be distance challenged. Paved one, I think all of her wins are at a mile and eighth, and she's won them like she's going to really like the mile and a quarter. So, I mean, I'd take a super look at her in there at that price. Capla Temptress was probably the one that scares me more than anybody in there. But so she should run good. Fatale Beret is in there as well for Leonard Powell. She won at the longer distance, going a mile and eight, too. I think Paved has a little bit better of a shot in there. And then we come to the Suburban, which, you know, we've had some kind of dull older horses races so far this year. This one really is a good race with all kinds of horse stuff going on in here. Dr. Dorr, you know, not a huge fan of this horse, but when you look at, I mean, running at the Accelerate is probably right now the best handicap horse running in the country. City of Light, you know him, he's proved himself. The fourth horse in there, of course, was Pavel. He came back and won. So here's Dr. Dorr, who's right in the middle of that mix. I mean, you just have to like him, use him, just because he's just coming out of that super race. Diversified, the New York bred is one to take a look at. You know, you got Opportunity in there, but you know, our horses should show ourselves in there as well. And in the big race, the final of the stakes, the Belmont Derby, we got my boy Jack coming back. Now, here's a horse that he touches base here every once in a while, but he's been running his races elsewhere. And interestingly enough, goes back to the turf where he's run just fine. You know, he's not going to have a problem with the distance. Still can't figure out how he was second choice in the Derby, but I mean, he's going to be very tough to beat, and that price in there, 6 to 1. Granted, there's a lot of horses analyze it. See what happened with him last time as he gave it up in the stretch, and see if Catholic Boy can come back. But my boy Jack is going to be tough in there. So although we don't have a lot of stars running locally, we have some running out there, and it'll be fun to watch that. But good to have a little bit of a break. I know you're on a tight schedule here, so there's not a whole lot to talk about out here. But if if anything you want to know, you can let me know. And if I don't know, I'll make something up.
Well, I do have a couple of things. For starters, let's do a quick Los Al hit. And how can anybody not be delighted? You mentioned Leonard Powell. Soy Fett wins another stake, the Bertrando, on Wednesday. It's unbelievable, the 10-year-old. So that one.
That's just one of those cool stories.
Yeah.
You can't talk about that horse without having a smile come on your face, especially around here. It's just, you go, he can't do it again. He can't do it again. And what does he do? He wins by a whisker again. And so that's pretty cool. Put him over the $1 million mark, which, you know, if you look at his campaign, it's been, you know, bits and pieces here and there. And by the way, I was looking, if Opportunity were to happen to win the Suburban, that would put him over the $5 million mark,
yep,
which is,
yep,
pretty incredible for this one. It just keeps, you know, obviously he's lost a step or two, but he can still play with the big boys going the longer distances. So, yeah, it's pretty cool about Soy Fett.
Got to mention, they're talking real extreme heat for the weekend, so they'll be on guard at Los Al, the Great Lady M tomorrow, the Grade 2, and then next weekend, closing week at Los Al, the Los Al Derby, so we'll look forward to that. Sky Diamonds, right, the major player with Marley's Freedom, Baffert and Spar facing off tomorrow in the Great Lady M, and I'm not sure about, haven't heard the intendeds for the Los Al Derby yet.
Neither have I. Haven't just really, first time I picked up a form. And I'll tell you what, I've lived here on and off for my whole life. I've never seen a prediction as I have today. They're predicting 113 today.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was maybe 85 and 89 yesterday, kind of a nice day. And they've been predicting, today they're predicting 113, tomorrow 112, and then it goes down again. But I've never seen, I don't think, a 113 prediction that's been up for 4 or 5 days. And so, actually, I just looked at my everyone's weather report, their phone, and now it says 114 prediction today. So we'll see how it goes. So, you know, that's over here. That's here where I am in Arcadia. It tends to be a little bit hotter here than it does over where Los Alamitos is, a little bit closer to the, you know, ocean breezes. So we'll see. But, yeah, it's going to be a cooker here. You want to be somewhere either inside or near some water.
It, the heat plays into the story that, in fact, Dave Greinke referred to earlier, and Baffert has not really taken up any serious training with Justify. And, in fact, for the first time, the quote that Baffert said that, you know, it's the first time that he's starting to show, you know, that he is a horse and not a machine. Clearly lost some weight, and Baffert wants to put the weight back on him before he leans on him and gets him ready for any assignment. So we're keeping tabs on that. It really feels, with that news, Hammer, that the Haskell feels less and less likely.
Well, you think about it. Where are we today? We're on the we're just July 6th. The Haskell's on the 29th. That's 23 days away. I don't think Justify has worked yet. And like you said, you know, he's not going to go out there and blow him out in this heat. I don't think. I actually looked up American Pharoah to see his activity in between the Belmont and the Haskell. The way the calendar falls this year, the Haskell's on the 29th. It was on August 2nd when American Pharoah ran. And American Pharoah actually had 6 works in between, 3 here and 3 at Del Mar, before he made the trip east. So, like you said, the six races in 112 days, you know, maybe it's time to give him a little bit of a breather. But who knows? Bob, as you know, Bob will come up with a plan when he needs to. I mean, you have the Haskell, you have the Travers. I'm not convinced he's going to go there. You have the Pacific Classic, which is at Del Mar. You know, not so sure about that one, but we'll see. He's going to take it slow. He's got nothing. He's got no agenda with the horse, which is actually a good thing. And when he's ready to run, like you said, Bob will let us know and tell us where he's going.
Well, and speaking of weight, for those that didn't see the story that developed this week, you talked about it at the beginning of your meet, and that was the flashing of the horse's weight. And this project is seemingly coming to full fruition. Rick, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Maryland, I suppose Golden Gate, they're all going to begin to publish weights of horses, and this is something that is really a useful, people may not know what to do with it, but it's a consideration. And I'm going to get Dr. Alday next week and have him talk about weight fluctuations in horses and how to interpret them. But this is really a nice initiative that Stronach Group is putting together, and should be a positive for horse players.
I think it'd be a great idea to hear from Dr. Alday and to tell, you know, does it matter? Does 10 pounds mean anything? Does 5 pounds? Does 20 pounds? Is it good if they go up? Is it good if they go down? To go through that. I didn't see that article. But I do know we collected weights from every runner this year, except the very, very few that refused to go on the scale. We didn't make them do it if it was going to be a problem. So we literally shipped a box load of programs with every weight of every single horse that ran to Equibase, and they're going to put them in their database. So at least we'll have a start. And so, you know, we're collecting that stuff. So they'll, you know, it doesn't do any good to see one weight. You need to see a few to get a comparison. So you got to start somewhere. So we'll have a little bit of database there, and then I guess they're going to start showing up in print, which, like you said, it's a tool. You can use it or not use it, but somewhere along the line, it'll come in handy.
Very much. And by the way, before we bring Dick Powell in, speaking of some horses that turned up and I haven't had a chance to talk about, did you see Instagrand, the 2-year-old for Hollendorfer and
no.
Larry Best?
No, I was gone, but I read a horse won by 10 or 12.
An 88 buyer in the debut going wow. 5 for loss.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know what? You got to remember, we're still starting the second half of the year, so let's hope we have some up and comers. I see some of the some of the 3-year-olds from last year. You know, you look at the Suburban. You look, you know, where's the 4-year-olds in there? There's only 3 of them, but you got the McCrackens of the world coming back, and some of the 3-year-olds from last year, which we need to fill in that handicap division for the rest of the year. So I think a lot of the stakes that I saw around the country, you know, in May and June weren't as good as they have been in the past, but I'm starting to see a lot of races filling up better. And, you know, when we've got Del Mar and we got Saratoga a few weeks away, things are good, and already made plans to head out there the first week week in August for the sale and other things, so be glad to get to Saratoga, and we'll be at Del Mar opening week. And did you find that song I sent you?
I did not yet. I will
okay.
dig it up.
I'm gonna dig you, it up. You gotta dig that song up. We're driving through the middle of nowhere in Washington, and this Nat King Cole song came up, and I go, that's a Steve Bick song for the radio.
I love it. All right, call the police. We're gonna find it. And one more 2-year-old people need to see, if you didn't see Katie Lee. Louis Mendez sent this Midnight Loot filly out on Wednesday. Take a look at that performance. That's a nice filly.
That's the Callahan filly?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Louis does some work. Louis does some work. Louis Mendez, new name on the scene, does some work for the Brocklebank operation, so we
nice.
Know he knows how to win early. His horses are usually, you know, legged up in Utah, and when they come, they are ready to roll. So he's already won 2 or 3 2-year-old races. So when you see that name, do not be afraid. You can go.
Well, Hammer, good to connect. Glad you had a nice trip. We'll talk next week.
Sounds great, Steve. Enjoy the week. Stay cool.
You bet. Rick Hammerly here, folks, and we'll stay on the scene and wrap up a busy morning. Apologize again. I didn't want to shortchange Drew Mollica and shove things in to a short coupling. So we'll get Drew next week, and we'll talk about that with the Mott situation with him and the good that hopefully it's going to do for horsemen and owners. Going forward, and Dick Powell joins us. Speaking of going forward, Sunday at Presque Isle, the Northern Fling, which I might as well be a Royal Ascot race. It feels like there's 28 horses, and the Lemat as well. Good morning, Dick.
Oh, a nice pair of state bred stake races. The Northern Fling drew 14. 12 will go, two also eligible. They're going to go a one turn mile. These are Pennsylvania breds running for $100,000. And race obviously came up strong. What's interesting is I like the defending champion, number six, Imply. And when you go back into PPs last year, Imply was second in the Leafard and then won the Northern Fling. Well, this year, he won the Leafard from post 10 on turf at Penn National and now comes to Presque Isle for the Northern Fling. So we've already seen this pattern before from her. And she looks like she'll be very tough from the middle post. Bernie Houghton is the trainer. And underneath, I like the Tom Proctor Sons up, number one, Great Soul. Has good speed, so won't get into traffic trouble with that big field going into the turn. And could be dangerous on the lead if Ronnie Allen Jr. sends her to a clear lead. And third, we will finish up with number nine, Tulsa Queen. Kind of a one-paced horse, Woodbine, but has been racing against graded stakes companies. So this is a bit of a drop in class. And second start off the layoff, which is usually a big improved move for most horses. So the Northern Fling, we will go 6, 1, and 9. And then the Lemat, which will be race number 7, and the same thing, Pennsylvania breds. These are just 3-year-olds and up. And if I remember correctly, Steve, Lemat was a gray and raced in Pennsylvania, and I believe he was a Pennsylvania bred, just like Northern Fling was for George Strawbridge. The Lemat Stakes, we got a field of 9. Good. And I want a number 3, Burn James Burn. Now, we see a lot of Bernstein horses run well at Presque Isle. This one's won 4 out of 10, has been racing on turf kind of all over the place against hard-knocking 50 claimers at Churchill. Added blinkers last time out. Does have some tactical speed. Mike Maker ships in with this one. Gets Ron Allen Jr. Good post. I think we'll be up early, involved somewhat in the early pace, and work out a good trip with number 3, Burn, James Burn. Then underneath that one, we'll go with the 5, Duff. And we'll go with the 2, Do Miss Me. So those are the 2 stake races coming up Sunday night, 5:25 post time for the first race. And as we said before we went on break, they're now racing the 5 days a week that they normally race. So we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at Presque Isle.
Well, and for those that have been, you know, watching, the cards have been terrific. I mean, there's been lots of good action. We haven't spoken in 2.5 weeks, but we'll pick it up here through the summer. And those that are, you know, already know about Presque Isle, you know, you're already dialed in. But take a look tomorrow night. Two very, very competitive, nice stakes to finish out the weekend, and what a great weekend it is. Dick, got about 90 seconds or so. Any final Royal Ascot thoughts? Any insight on the Euros that turn up Saturday at Belmont?
Let me go over quickly a horse that raced last night at Presque Isle. Amy Farrah Fowler won the first race. She broke her maiden first time out in 51-1. She trained brilliantly since then, including a 59 breeze at Presque Isle. And then she comes back last night for Ron Pertz, Potts, and a non-1-1, and she wins by almost 9 lengths. Not the fastest times we've seen, but this is a 2-year-old filly. But I think when she does hit open company, she might raise some eyebrows, especially if those speed figures are a little bit low and they see her shipping in from Presque Isle. So that's one to watch. I'll have to keep track of stakes nominations to see if she shows up on, obviously, up here or Monmouth or anything like that. But she's very impressive filly that just dominated last night at 1-5. Ascot was great, but sometimes Ascot is too much of a good thing because I needed Nelson. I needed horses to hang on for second. They couldn't. And so it was kind of frustrating for me, but it was obviously great racing and not necessarily the best results.
Well, Saratoga looming, Dick, and we'll certainly avail ourselves of your insights as well when we get together.
two weeks left of summer, then it's all over. I went to Saratoga.
Exactly. 2 weeks from today. Well, in the meantime, tie on with Presque Isle this weekend and all this other tremendous racing. Just an unbelievable weekend ahead, and really it starts now because there's the two-day carryover at Belmont, and I'm going to check back because there's still, the last time I looked, there had still not been necessarily a decision. Let's go here, and we'll get the official. They just went, there we go, 11:48, so just 9 minutes ago, because it's a 3 o'clock start. So for those of you that want to take your time to look.
I'll show up at 1 o'clock.
doesn't look like there's any changes in terms of fast and firm. Nice. Yeah. Well, good. That sequence now has to be looked at because it's very good racing. And 171,000 two-day carryover in New York, and then everything else that folks might want to take an interest in. Tomorrow, Belmont and Arlington. I've actually made selections at Arlington, too, so I probably will write up both. Gus's analysis available at BrizNet, and, of course, Dick's analysis available at BrizNet daily.
So that's
PresqueIsleDowns.com. That's right, for Presque. Exactly. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back with you for the big weekend recapping and much, much more as we get into the flow. A full morning today. I want to thank Dick and Hammer and Ed DeRosa, Marcus Hirsch, Dave Grenick, Nick Tamaro, and Jim Dunleavy. Delaware, Arlington, Belmont, and more. Good luck, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.